Okay, so kosher. Kosher is a bit of a complicated malacha, as things go. So we're going to do the best that we can with it. My current plan this week is to outline the nature of the malacha and the contours of the central machloket between Rashi and the Rosh on the one side, the Rambam and the Riff on the other side, as to what counts as a knot that is forbidden. Next week, to deal with the question of how long these knots have to last and issues of the quality of the knot, intent when you tie the knot, and things of that sort. And the third week to do whatever's left over from those 2 weeks plus matir. Okay, so first question you have to deal with is this prohibition of kosher and matir, right? These twin malachot of tying and untying. Where were they in the Mishkan? So the Bavli suggests as follows: number one, hakosher v'matir. Kshira b'mishkan eicha havoi. Where was tying in the Mishkan? Amar Rava, so the Gemara brings several suggestions. The first possibility brought by Rava, shekein kosher v'seidos o'alim. They used to tie down the tent of the Mishkan to the pegs. So Amar Le Abaye, how kosher amanas lahatir? Who it can't be, because since those were meant to be untied, right? You tied it, and then when you left, you untied it. That would be if that was true, then it would be prohibited even to tie a knot which is going to be untied, which is, as we'll get to, not true. So Elam Rabbi, so Abai suggests something else, and he says, Shekein Orge Yurios, Shenivsik Olahen Nima Kosher Nosa. When they were weaving curtains, and a rope, a string, would tear, they would tie it up. So Amar Le Rava Tarasta Kosher. So sure, right? If the string rips, tears, you tie it up so that you can continue using the string. But that only explains kosher, matir, ma'ik, le'meimar. When would you ever untie that knot, right? That knot is never going to be untied. So v'chi teima di misramalu trechute kitri b'had de'adadi shari chad v'kater chad. So maybe you'd say that if you had two strings that were sort of splitting together, so you'd untie one and you'd tie the other. So the Gemara says you don't do that, right? When you're making hashdul lefnei melech baser v'damei osin ken lefnach malchei amlachim hakadosh baruch hu osin, you wouldn't, right? That's not how you would tie, untie, make tapestries. It just doesn't look good. So ela amar rava v'itema ref eli sheken tzadik chilazon kosher and umatirin. So the Gemara then concludes that really it's from the nets that they used to catch the chilazon to get the tchelet that they needed to dye certain things in the Mishkan. We discussed briefly before, when were they doing this? Adam gave a good summary of it before, right? Did this mean that they actually did this in the Mishkan, or it's just that they had tchelet, and since to get tchelet you need to do this, so it's prohibited even though they weren't actually doing this? Where are you doing this? In the desert, right? Or did they, I don't know, go on expeditions to God knows where? To, right? Apparently, right, they were still... yeah, exactly, right? The Torah didn't tell you, but besides the Meraglim, there were groups of people with the Mishkan who just went in and out of Eretz Yisrael to get Chilazon. I don't know. Presumably that didn't happen, but who knows? But at any rate, they needed Tchelet, and the way you get Tchelet is you catch the Chilazon, and the way you catch the Chilazon is with nets, and you would tie these nets. And therefore, that is when you have kosher and matir. Okay, that is the Bavli's conclusion. The Yerushalmi... now, this is going to become this question of where it comes from is not super critical in kosher. I mean, it's an interesting point. It's important sort of conceptually, but it will become very important in matir because trying to figure out, and that to the third week, I've already had those sources ready. But the question of when is matir prohibited, is it only matir al-manas likshor, right, or matir for any constructive purpose, that's going to come down to where you think matir was in the Mishkan, at least partially. So that's something to keep in mind for that week. But for our purposes at the moment in kosher, this is where kosher is from. The Yerushalmi takes it differently. Shalmi says as follows: Matira isa b'mishkan shekoshen et ha mitarim. Right, they would tie down the
ropes.
Yeah, the ropes. There we go. They would tie the ropes again, presumably similar to the Yesedos Olim of the Badli. They would tie down the Mishkan. The Gemara said they can't be. Wasn't that temporary? So Amar Rabbi Yosa, Mechaven Shilchonim Nosen Al Piyadibor, right? This should be familiar to you at this point. Yerushalmi's contention. It's true it was temporary, but they traveled by God. Kamishu Leolam. It is forever. Now, we will get back to this question because there will be an important discussion next week in terms of the duration of the knots. What does it mean for a knot to be eternal? Does it actually have to be eternal? Does it mean you just don't know when you're going to untie it? The Taz is a long discussion of this. So that we will discuss next week. Rabbi Yosef,
are we talking about the Yosefos again?
Presumably. I think so.
I don't use the word, whereas the Bavli did. So
I assume that's what you're doing. I don't really know how you tie up a tent. I don't know.
Okay.
Something like that. Do you know? Is there anything else you would do? I don't know. Again, we've seen this. Rabbi Yosef said, no, since they knew they were going to Yisrael, it was temporary. We learn it from those who stitched the curtains. Nifsak Hayakosho, Chazrav and Nifsak Lasun Ksharam Charam, Efshar, Elachozer, Matas Arishon. Right? So they would when it would break, they would tie it up, but you had to untie things. You can't just have multiple knots, so you would unknot things and then you would retie them. So constantly you'd be tying and untying to connect things, to connect broken things and the like. Amr Chizkiah in Chayata Umna Mivla Train Rashe. Chizkiah said no. What happened was that you wanted the entire, we discussed this briefly in Tofer, they wanted the entire curtain to be one big piece. The way you do that is when you get to the end, you tie in the next curtain, so you don't have to patchwork it, right? You just keep tying strings and extending it forever. So that tying, right, when they would swallow it in to the next one, that was kosher. Adid amra damer biosi brachanina meargerias lamdu mataima orecheria haachas kadeshu dehe kula achas. They wanted to all be one. Nivsakai kosher mechem shemegila oreg have a shari le umale. Right, so they would tie it in, but you know, you'd hide it, you wouldn't see it. So that was the tying. So the Yerushalmi ends up saying, yes, it is in fact the tying that would go on in the Uriot, not from the Tzad Chilazon, from the Uriot, either from when it broke, you would untie and untie, which the Bavli didn't want to accept, the Yerushalmi does accept, or it was you would make this one huge curtain, so you would constantly be attaching one curtain to the next. But that is where we get kosher from in the Mishkan. Again, this will become important in Matir, especially in Matir in 2 weeks. Now, okay. First question we have to deal with in kosher is what is the nature of this malacha? And there's two basic conceptions that are suggested with variations within them. One possibility is it's called, like tofer, it's what's called a malacha shel chibur. Right? The primary prohibition of kosher is to attach, right? Attach two things. Now the obvious question you'll then have to deal with, which we'll see in just a moment there, hasholchan, is if the prohibition of kosher is to attach via a knot, then why exactly is it different than tofer, which, as we already saw, doesn't only include stitching, it includes attaching through whatever, right? Gluing, through all the... We have beaten this to death. But all those things, right, that are attaching, if it's just attaching, and tofer, we know, the toldot of tofer are attaching not via stitching, or just attaching, so why is kosher different than tofer? That's the question you're going to contend with. The other possibility, therefore, which would avoid these questions, is to say, no, kosher is not a malacha shel chibur. The problem of kosher is not the attachment of two things. The problem is the knot itself, right? Is creation of a knot, that is the problem. And this is a machlokes. Okay. This is always complicated because the Rishonim don't deal with this question explicitly, right? It is a machlokas that the Acharonim had to interpret Rishonim. Let's put it that way, like everything else. And sometimes you have explicit machlok Rishonim. This is not one of them. You can be medayik it from Rishonim, but okay. So the Aruch HaShulchan takes the position strongly that this is a malacha of chibur, that the malach of kosher is the attachment via a knot. So then he asks the obvious question. And three, im tishal dim ken kosher v'tofer achasim. If the problem with kosher and tofer are both attaching, then aren't they the same? Daha gam kosher mechaber advarim ze laze. Because tying also attaches. Deino chen. De chibur de kesher ro'i lahatiro u lahashivo likadmuso. Because kosher is a different type of attaching than tofer. Namely, kosher is attaching in such a way that it is meant or possible to be undone fully, right? To return to its previous state. A knot can be untied and then it is untied. And right, as opposed to mashenke betofer umedabek shirtzel hashivam lakadmusam bechrech lekalkulam vilekroa zemizem mashenu ken bekosher. So things that are attached or sewn together, the way you detach them is by destroying the bond rather than undoing the bond. Right. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, they're both melachos of chibur. But now this gets a bit complicated because kosher is only asmi d'oraisa v'shel kayama. But he said, theoretically, the way you would undo a knot is by undoing it rather than destroying it. So kosher is connecting two things in such a way that they could be detached without destroying the attachment. Tofer is attaching two things which can then only be detached by destroying the bond. So right, that is the distinction. What? Stapling would be...
No, you have to damage
the staple.
You have to bend it out of shape. It's more like a magnet. Magnets should be kosher.
I'm damaging the tefillah or I'm damaging the two objects? Like I have a sleeve and I have a cuff, so I take out the stitch and I have a cuff and I have a sleeve. Nothing's been damaged.
You damage it at the point of attachment, right? I don't know which is the... It doesn't make it totally clear, right? What is the object here? I don't know. Right? Is the object? I assume it's the knot, but it's the point of attachment. I don't know.
Third thing that's attaching to other things, you would still call it kosher. Or it's.
I assume that it's you have to you destroy the attachment. So no, right? If you have glue, right?
Or a stitch or whatever. Well, maybe you can say that once there's a third thing, it's just not kosher at all.
Maybe. I mean, that's not the distinction he makes. He doesn't.
That's what he says.
Right. I mean, he doesn't make the distinction between third. Correct. Right. You could distinguish that way.
If he used this definition of kosher and tofer, then the issue of the button sounds more like a kosher problem than a tofer problem.
Fair. Probably. I mean, buttoning is not a problem, anyways. But it would be a non-problem of kosher, I guess. But you're right. You could distinguish. Otherwise, I'd say no. Malachas, the kosher is attaching via itself, and tofer is attaching with an outside element. But it's not necessarily true, right? Tofer isn't always like that, right? When you stitch things together, it's attaching by itself, right? You're sewing, right?
Stitch things together.
Staple is a third thing.
Staple's thing, but not stitching, right? If you sew something,
that's the third thing.
If you make the clothes out of the...
I guess.
Chut is the third
thing. I guess. So maybe...
Excuse me.
But it could be. It could be that that's the difference, right? I mean, the Aruch HaShulchan focuses on the destruction of it, but you're right. You could focus on the... Now, the truth is that I'm partial to the position that it's not a Lachas Chibur at all, because there's good evidence that it's not, but you're right. You could distinguish. I haven't seen anyone explicitly say that. I'm trying to think.
What?
No, that's the difference in kosher and tofer. I'm fine with you saying it.
Professor Weiss was talking, I think someone was talking about stitching up the sushi discussion, right? That there was no third element, and that's why it wasn't tofer.
I mean, he also says that it's not really...
Anyway, whatever.
Maybe
Adam says it's
okay. No, Adam says it's fine. It's a good svara. I mean, he doesn't say it on his discussion of kosher.
Right. Okay.
In his explicit, lengthy discussion of kosher, he doesn't bring that up. Yeah.
And wouldn't the first place
we just need to come up with an acronym?
The first place you would be in the Torah where the word kosher.
I know you're very into this, but.
Why wouldn't that be the first place to look and see what the
I know you like this Ibn Ezra, but what evidence would that give
parents.
You?
What?
First place is Paris, the birth of the twins.
I don't know. Sometimes kesher also means rebellion. I don't know what that has. I don't know what that would do. Like
looking at the word in the Chumash, the cutting the thread.
I don't know. Look, kesher also means rebellion. I don't know what that's gonna.
What?
Kesher can also mean rebellion.
No, it's conspiracy. It's not rebellion.
Fine.
It's people
conspiracy.
Being tied together.
Fine.
And where would you find that?
What? Atalia.
In Tanakh, you find it.
Atalia. Kesher.
I'm
Atalia. Yes. What? So, I don't know if that would help me in this case. It might, but...
I would think that would be the first place you'd try and analyze.
Except not, because the word kesher is rabbinic. No, meaning the description of this malacha as kosher is rabbinic. The Gemara, the psukim never say the malacha.
The first thing is about
right. That's always the problem. The malachot aren't listed in the Torah, so I don't know if that would even help you. But right. I mean, remember they aren't listed in the Torah, so it doesn't. You know, you can call whatever you want.
No, but.
But I don't know why that would, in this case, I don't know why that would help for that reason, right? Meaning, because, you know, just because there are differences between how things are used in Rabbinic Hebrew, they are in the Psukim, so I don't know. You have to figure out how it's used in Rabbinic Hebrew, which, you know, I don't know, there's no magic rule. I don't know. But that's the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, there is evidence, though, that this is not true, that it's not Malachas Kibur, it's about the knot. So, for example, in 4, we're in Irvin Sadi Zayin, says as follows: Vahashta Datani. It's in the middle of a carrying Gemara, but in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara says, "Vahashta Datani Avu Dishmul Barav Yitzchak Elo Hein Yishana Kol She Hein Ritzud Mikusharot Chadash Yishman Ritzud Lo Mikusharot." The Gemara distinguishes between old and new tefillin, and the Gemara says that you could, right, if you want to carry tefillin on Shabbos, even though you don't, you're not chayev, but you can wear it derech malbush, you can wear it as clothing, so it has to be tied the normal way. So the Gemara says, if it is old, meaning it's already tied up, so then you're allowed to carry it by wearing it on Shabbos because it is in its normal, it's in the normal format of tefillin, and therefore putting it on is considered wearing. But if it's new and they aren't tied, you can't do it. We don't let you be toreach. Fine. The Gemara then says, "Vilinav minav. Why don't you vilinav li avinhu minav? Why don't you tie the tefillin with a slipknot?" So Amar Chizda does omeres aniva psula b'tefillin. It must be that this teaches that a slipknot isn't good for the knot of your tefillin. So Abai Amar Yudel Tameid Amar aniva kshira mal yasehi. Okay, the Gemara continues here, but let's leave that because we're going to come back to this Gemara. But the simple problem is that the Gemara holds that tying the knot of tefillin is kosher midaraisa. In the kosher tefillin, you are not attaching two things; you are tying a knot. The shame tying a knot, right? You're not attaching two things at all, right? You're just tying a knot, right? By the head tefillin, you're right. You could theoretically, right, attach the two different straps, but by the arm tefillin, you are bechal not. You're just tying a yud, right? And therefore, there is no tying two things together. You could be dochak and say this is only referring to the head tefillin where you attach the two, right, the two straps together and make the whatever you do, dalad, double dalad, whatever you want to do, but the yud is just a knot.
That's making the tefillin. But
No. The tefillin are made. It's knotting the kesher.
You're attaching the end of the ritzua to the middle of the ritzua.
Right.
That's what the kesher on the yad is. It's not two separate ritzuos. But it's definitely attaching two things. And you got the end, which...
But that's only one thing. That's tying one string to itself.
You're both describing the same phenomenon, just looking at it in different ways.
Right. Now, you could expand this and say, it's attaching things to itself, yes. Right? But that's not...
exactly what he's talking
about. Right, but that's not... Right. That's that's saying, okay, kosher is... Right. Very different because it's even. You're right. You could, right? You could be dochek and say it's the head tefillin. You could say it's kosher because it's tying two sides of one thing to itself, which is called chibur. But the simple understanding is the knot is the problem itself.
So
yeah.
When you make the head tefillin, what knot do you do when you put on head tefillin?
How many
bellin?
You're not doing that. No,
that's what you're doing here. That's exactly what you're saying.
When you
classically,
what? That's what you're doing.
Classically, people tied their tefillin every day.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. That's really Ilyahu. No, Rabbi Ilyahu says that you have to, and we push back. This is one of the Gemaras back on it.
We don't.
But that's what it's talking about. It's tying the knot of your tefillin. That's what it's talking about.
So, okay, but since we don't do that, for our purposes, that wouldn't be the issue, right? If we put... One of the suggestions here is put it on Shabbos or something, right?
The Gemara is asking whether tying the knot, whether you could tie the knot of the tefillin on Shabbos. The Gemara says no.
So for us, if we put on our head tefillin on Shabbos, we're not doing any knot.
You're not chayiv in tefillin on Shabbos. The Gemara here is asking if you have tefillin in Rosh Hashanah and you want to carry them back, derech malbush, right? How do you do that? And the Gemara says you can only do it if even though you're not chayiv in tefillin, if you put it on tefillin, it's called derech malbush, you can carry your tefillin. The Gemara says it's only called derech malbush if they are already knotted. But if they're not knotted, it's not derech malbush. So the point is that the Gemara claims that making the knot of the tefillin is kosher, right? That's the central point here, right? And again, you could say that the Gemara either is talking about the head tefillin, where I guess ostensibly you're attaching two sides, or you could say you're tying it to itself. Right, that doesn't seem to be the focus. The focus seems to be the knot itself. You look at Rashi in 5. Rashi just tells you, I don't know what happened in the middle there, but he said, right, what is the knot? The kesher shel tefillin ha'asui kimin osios. It's the letters. The chenu tavua tamid, and it is set as such, as the letter, right, as that letter forever. Alma tamishum keshu dikshiras av melachav asur likshar v'chavas kesher shakayam, and you can't tie. Right, it doesn't focus on you're tying different things. It's you're making a letter. You're making a knot. That seems to be the emphasis. Again, you can right push back on it if you want to say it's melechet chibur, and very serious people do. But the simplest understanding is that it's not melechet chibur. And there are other halachot that seem to imply that it's not melechet chibur. So, for example, in 6, the Smag paskins, and the Rama quotes it, and this is 6 and 7. The Smag says, "Opposing mikan shenikra kesher shekayam elokein aser kesher al gavi kesher." Right, so we'll come back to that. That a double knot is a knot of kayama. Amnam yesh ksham shem iskayim v'kesher echbi. So there are some knots. Right, usually you need a double knot or a kesher uman, and we'll get into that. But sometimes a single knot is going to be aser. When is that? You go and shekosher chevel echad berosho v'ena kosher shnei rosha v'chayotze v'zeh. V'adai nechshav kesher kayama asher v'kesher echad. If you tie a knot at the end of a string, that's usher, right? You tie a knot at the end of the string. That is a kasher. And the Rama paskins ha debeinan shnei ksharim zel zeh hainu kishkosher shnei dvarim bi yachad avam azer kasher berosh echad shalchut o meshicha dino kishnei ksharim. If you tie a knot at the end of a string, it is if you tied a double knot, and it is usher.
So in Rashi's by Rashi's time, they didn't tie it at the tefillin.
It's machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Elio in Tosfos,
because he says b'cheinu kavu atamid.
Right, and that's why Rabbeinu Tam says you don't tie your knot every day. Rabbeinu Elio did, but we don't pass in that way. Very much don't pass in that way. But yes, right. Rabbeinu Elio in Tosfos says that we did do that. So again, the simplest understanding of this is that kosher is not melechas chibur. It's about the knot, right? A knot. Again, you can always say in a knot that you're attaching the two sides of the string to itself into the knot. But at some point, you're arguing semantics. The point is that when you're tying at the end of one string a knot, what you're doing is you're tying the string to itself, right? It's not attaching two different things. It is just tying a knot. That's what it's doing, and that is usher.
We say the same thing for tofer. Let's say I have a bolero, and I tie the ends of the bolero around like this with tefira. Would that be tofer? It's tying it to itself.
How do you tie with tefira?
I sew it together.
With a thread? Or, like you can outside.
You know, like for example, like the way they used to sew the head of the end of the hole in the sits in the beged. That's so sewing it to itself.
Yeah, but you'd use the thread.
Right.
So okay. You took a thread and
tefira also
would
be tefira for one piece of beged too. You're arguing that it can't be tefira, it can't be connecting two things because it connects it to itself.
Right.
But the same argument could be the same thing for tefira.
So this may come down to Adam's distinction of connecting via itself or just with a third element, which could be. But the emphasis, right, seems to not be on, right? It seems to be you're tying a knot, right? That's the problem with kosher, you're tying a knot, right? There is no discussion of being mechaber or anything, right? The Ramah doesn't bring it up, the Smag doesn't bring it up, right? It's not about that, right? They're not trying to say this is melechet chibur of two sides. The point is it's a knot. Right, and that's what's usher here. Now, again, you can always push back and semantically say, well, you're connecting two sides of it, so it really is chibur. It's a different type of a chibur. It's a chibur with an outside element. But what it would come down to is that, right, once you get into that semantics, right, it doesn't matter anymore. The point is that kesher doesn't need to attach different things. Anytime you tie a knot, what you're really saying is that every time you tie a knot, it's definitionally attaching things. But that's really just another way of saying that kosher is a problem because you're tying a knot, right? You can say the problem is that you're attaching the two sides to itself, or you say the problem is the knot. The point is that it's not about attaching two different things. It's about the knot, which is either definitionally attaching, or it's a knot because it's a knot. But either way, right, for halachic purposes, I can't imagine a nafkamina between those two, right? Can you? No. Think of it. I can't, right, at some point, it's a chakira without a nafkamina. But the point is that it's not chibur of two different things, right? Unlike tofer, which usually is, you're right, you could come up with cases where it's not, but this, again, may come down to Adam's point of once you introduce the third element.
Is Can you tie the shoelace?
We'll get to shoelaces. She will get to shoelaces eventually. Eventually, not now, but eventually. Okay. The Rambam in 8 says that a tofer shtei tfira, so we saw this by tfira, right? Your chayev. If you tie the ends of it so it doesn't fall apart. Now, as we discussed in Tofer a bit, everyone asked the question, why does Tfira require kosher, right? And what exactly is the nature of this kosher, right? Why the Rambam making it sound like that knot is part of Tofer, right? How exactly do these work together? So the Mekevers HaMishnah 9 says, I'm a chesem mishnah shem ramach, v'ovu b'dor v'sholchon aruch. Va'ani omer de'ein inyan likshira zu de'tvira de'melechas kosher. He said this kosher, this knot is a tofer knot and not a kosher knot. Why? Shukol ikara shuhu kosher u'mechaber shnei dvarim nifradim. Because tofer is only when you separate two different things. Va'ani Yerushalmi perakol gadol nira misham d'lo shayech shira b'tfira elam ken kasher shnei tzadei achutin lahadadei aval kosher tzad echad mikan ein zeh meleches shira. And therefore he is willing to accept what Rav Yair said, that tying two sides of a string to each other is chibur, right? But he said, but if you take just a string and you tie a knot at the end, right, you're not even tying two sides to each other, you're just tying a knot. And he said, that is kosher, right? Not kosher, that's tofer. But kosher is adechem, mikan mikan, ein zeh meleches kshira. So the Merkavah's Mishnah very much believes that meleches kosher is a meleches chibur. Now, ironically, he flips it, right? He said, any knot, which is not about connecting two different things, is a subset of tofer, even though normally tofer is the connective one. The kosher at the end of that holds the tofer together is a subset of tofer. Kosher needs to connect.
He's not saying that act is an act of tofer. He's just saying that act of,
meaning it's the permanent. It's what gives tofer its permanence, and therefore it's part of the tofer thing.
Exactly,
right. Yeah. Meaning it's not kosher. Right? So Mekevah's Mishnah very much holds of this notion that kosher is imeleches chibur. In fact, he says anytime you have a knot which is not being mechaber, two different things, it's not even kosher at all.
But Tanakh is not kosher.
What?
But Tanakh.
Again, אבל אומר, אבל כמו שאמרתי, זה לא המילה כושר לעניין שבת לא נמצא בתנ"ך, זה נמצא בחז"ל. אז בלשון חכמים לחוד ולשון תנ"ך לחוד.
בסדר.
זה מה שאומר. אז, אוקיי. The Avnei Nezer in 10, commenting on the Gemara in Eruvin that we saw regarding Tefillin, he says, "Nistapakti im kisher shnei roshei chut." Oh God, why do they have to do the jackhammer now? Roshei chut zeim zeh, ichashiv kosher. If you tie the side of a string to itself, is that kosher? Umashiv yani lesafek zeh, sherei kol malachot mechavin lo ela dumya de mishkan. Because all malachot are similar to the mishkan. V'mechava gachel shamatechet patra filo man v'mechavin lachshin. So gufa, etc. And then next line, v'kevin de kshir shev mishkan ha'i lechaber ha'nikshar v'meshe nikshar bo, v'chut shaya echad mitchila ein kan chibur mechadash. Said in the Mishkan, it was attaching two different things, and therefore attaching a rope to itself, would that be kosher? And then he says, but it seems achnirali raya who the paragamotzi tefillin the chadoshet sheish bem ratzuot veinam mikusharot the mevurasham the mishum she'ein yochel lekoshen b'shabbos etc. Three lines down, shmami nadu chegavne chashuv kasher. It sounds like tying a single string, right, to itself is kosher. Don't tell me that it's only the Rabbanan. And then he gets into a discussion of being medame shvus to shvus. After the ellipsis, kosher rosh chur echad lo chashiv kasher. But at the end of the day, even though he indicates the Gemara in Erevin seems to go against him, he paskas even tying two sides of a rope to itself, right, is not kosher kevan she'eno mechaber shum davar. So then he says, but what about the Ramah? right? Who says the Anuvar b'Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Yud Zayin Deve Kesher Ve'od Chamur Yoser Dafil B'Kesher Echatzagi. What about the Ramah who says the tying a knot at the end of a string is kosher and it's even more machmer than regular kosher because you don't need a double knot? Nira D'Mayvim Is Chabral Yidei Zeha Kesher Dumya Dehidi Yoredeya Ba'asek Shem B'Shnei Rasha Emashicha V'Chibur. Said it must be that you attached something through this Kesher. The Ramah doesn't say it, but he says it must be that it is true. So again, what you have is this machlokas where you have the Archa Sholchan, you have the Avnei Nezer, Mekevet HaMishnah, they're all convinced that kosher has to be a Melechas Chibur, and therefore they have to bend over backwards to explain the Rama, who says that even tying a knot at the end is Melechas, is Asur. The simple pshat is that kosher is either not a Melechas Chibur at all, it's just about making the knot, or alternatively, to take this sort of middle approach, which, again, I don't think it has enough, Kamina, that kosher, unlike tofer, is attaching, even attaching something to itself, right? But either way, the knot becomes more of the focus. Rav Gigi in 11 here tries to defend the Avnei Nezer. Yeshema Yishlomer Da'afik Kosher Chod Echad Yeish Chibur Ki Yeish Sham Sivim Shemadakim Al Yidei Kesher. Right? You can always say that, yes, tying a string to itself is kosher because, again, you tie the two sides of the string to itself. V'dochuk tzas. But that's a bit dochuk because, first of all, it's not really, but more. But also, that, then it's really semantics. V'yoser Niresh Ulai Svarazirim V'ramah Shishnei Dinim Heim B'kesher. He said, perhaps, what the Urayim, the Smag, the Ramah will say is that there's two types of kesher. Yesh kesher sheyotzer chibur, v'yesh kesher shechashivuzu b'ezem maizah kesher. There's two types of kesher. One is when it ties and its significance is because you attach, but kosher can also be significant because you made a knot. V'efsher sha'avu yitzir is kesher mechaber. Maybe you want to say that the av is a knot which attaches. V'efsher shetoloda higam b'ezem maizah kesher. And the toloda is making a knot if you lay in mechaber klal. V'tzarachian, right? He's like, maybe you want to play with av and talad and say the av is attaching, the talad is making an odd. The point is, the simplest shot by Kesher is that by the end of the whole story, right, tying a knot is usur, even if it doesn't attach anything. Av, talad, I don't know, but it seems to be more expansive than what we have in Tofer. I gave you in 12, the Yerchot Shabbos, notes that this is a machlokas achronim. Right, he quotes the Merkavis HaMishnah. But he notes that other achronim just push back on this. The halfway down, right? First, he quotes everyone we've seen. I just gave it to you so you can see. He quotes everyone, but like halfway down, Amnam Lechora. Ha'ikur kimshmo divrei haramach anal. Deish chiyuv kosher af chenu mechabresh nedvarim. The simple pshat is that kosher is kosher whether or not you attach things. V'chein mashma pashtus divrei yurayim. And that's what the yurayim seems to mean, and the smag, and the ramah, right? So the simple pshat, if you don't want to bend over backwards, is just to say that no, you can have kosher without attaching two things, and that is it. That's the Yerchot Shabbos. Rabbi Ribiad in 13, on the other hand, pushes back on this and argues that he really, despite the difficulties which he acknowledges, he likes the notion that it is only when you are kosher shnei dvarim. That's in 13. Okay.
So according to that, that it's not a shoelace wouldn't be that. Then that's
well. A shoelace, well, you might be attaching to, right, maybe it's two strings by the end, but yeah, potentially. Yeah. Again, but that comes, that's semantics. Is that considered tying two things? Because now two, again, pashtas is, right, this is not true. It's that, you know, or it's only true at a semantic level, but it's not true at a fundamental level. I mean, anytime you tie a knot, presumably it's going to be usser. Right? That's the upshot of it. Okay. Rav Gigi notes in 14, I'll say it outside, that it could be that this machlokes is part of the discussion that leads to the most important machlokes in kosher, which is what makes something kosher. And there is a fundamental machlokes we'll see in just a moment between the Rif and the Rambam on one side and Rashi and the Rosh on the other side. Rashi and the Rosh say, in order for something to be a knot, it just needs to be permanent. That's it. If it's permanent, it is aser, mida araisa. Right? We have different madregos of permanence, which get to mutter, derabanan, and daraisa, but it's all about permanence. The Rambam and the Rif introduce two factors, possibly. One, which is permanence, kayama, and the other, which is uman, that it needs to be a professional knot. Rav Gigi notes, to the extent that you need something, permanence, right? Permanence is about attachment. But professionalism isn't about attachment necessarily. It's about the nature of the knot itself. So Rav Gigi notes that the more you think it's only about permanence, the more plausible it is to say that kosher is only about connection. Once you start introducing other factors, like what type of knot is it, not how good of a knot is it, but what type of knot is it, you start focusing on the knot itself, a CS kesher rather than chibur, which I think is an important point to make. Yes?
I don't get it. But isn't every knot not permanent? The only thing is the person's intention.
I don't know. There are definitely knots I can't get out, right?
You could, but
no, there are knots that are, for all intents and purposes, impossible to get out. That's next week. Next week, we'll get into whether permanent means intent or quality. Jerry, I promise you, next week, I don't promise you, but next week, that's the goal. I promise you that that's the goal. I don't know if I'll do it, but that's the goal, right?
The chibur versus the knot is much more than semantics, because if you go to the chibur thing, because all practical applications is one thing, a tie is one thing, a shoelace is one thing, a twist tie is one thing. Like most of our practical applications, they're dealing with one thing, not putting two things together. So if you don't focus on the knot, then most things should be mutter.
Well, not again, it depends how you define it. But yes, yes, okay. The evidence seems to stack up behind that position. I'm going to say the next two sources outside. Okay, there's a jackhammer and talking. I can't, like, there's a limit to how much I can. Yeah, right. This question, though, does affect another question, which is, to what extent can you borrow the definitions of kosher from Shabbos to other areas in Torah? The Avnei Niezer begins discussing this, but if you just look, skip to 16, to Shlomo Zalman says, L'chein yer lomar d'l'chol dinei Torah gam l'kesher sheno shel kayama yesh shem kesher. Shlomo Zalman Orbach contends that everywhere outside of Shabbos, a non-permanent knot is called a knot. Why? Because Shlomo Zalman argues that a knot is a knot, whether it's permanent or not. God, that was bad. That was terrible. But on Shabbos, where the malacha is chibur, you need kayama. Right? So Shlomo Zalman understands that, so much so that kosher is about chibur, but he said, but this is the reverse of what Jerry wants to say, right? It's literally the opposite. He says, if you looked in the Torah and looked at the word kosher, you would come to the conclusion that kosher is about knots. And that's true everywhere in Kol Torah Kula except for Shabbos. In Shabbos, it's not about the knot, it's about connection. And therefore, on Shabbos, you need permanence. And everywhere else in Kol Torah Kula, you don't need permanence, right? Which is the raya against this notion of taking what the word means once and carrying it everywhere. No, he says it's the opposite. Shabbos is unique, because it's a melachas chibur, and therefore it needs permanence. But in a chanami, everywhere else in Shas, anywhere else in halacha, you would not need a permanent knot, because the focus is the knot. It's only Shabbos where the purpose is connection.
It makes sense. Like, all the other melachot also, talking about Shabbat, when I want to do something for now, usually it's going to be okay. But if you want to do something like for the future, like kaima, like even to prepare food for tomorrow,
so that's exactly his point, right? His point is, and that's why only by kosher you find kayama is so important, and he said that's why by matir it needs to be, according to many, matir amanas, right? Likshor, because sins, right? And that's, we'll come back to it, matir, but the reason we're so obsessed with this is because of the uniqueness of kosher. The Minchas Asher as well picks up on this. And he notes that therefore the same thing, the same types of uniqueness you find by tofer, right? That's just what he adds to the discussion, right? That the reason tofer has certain uniqueness is for the exact same reason that kosher has certain uniqueness. Okay, that brings us to this central machlokas in kosher, which is, what do you need? What counts as a knot, kayama or uman? So where does that come down? Just if you look at 18, so the central, the sugya of kosher goes from Kufyud Aleph, Amud Beis in Shabbos, to Kufyud Gimel. So if you look just quickly at the Mishnayos tell you as follows, Eiluk Shem Chayav and Alehen, right? These are the knots for which you are Chayav. Kesher Hagamalon, Vekesher Asapanen, it is the knot of the camels, right, that you tie to its, to its septum, right? I think that's the part of the nose that Rabbi Ribi calls it. V'kesher asapan, the ones that you tie to the boat. U'kshem shu'chayev al kishuran, kachu chayev al hateiran. You're chayev for tying it and for undying it. Meir Omer kol kesher shu'yochel atir b'achaz miyadav, ein chayev al Rabbi Meir says, if you can untie it with one hand, it is not chayev. The Gemara says, "My kesher gaman, my v'kesher asapan." And what is this kesher of the camel and the boat? So, ile mekatre the katre is mama, mekatre the katre be istarda. Hi kesher sheino shel kayama sheino shel kayama ella kitra dis mama gufe istarda gufa. So the Gemara said, if there are two knots, it could be right when you have a camel. So the way they used to pierce a hole in its nose, and they would tie a ring through it, and then when you would lead it, you would tie a string to that ring. So the Gemara says, which string are we talking about? The one in the nose or the one tied to the one in the nose? So the Gemara says, it can't be the one tied to the one in the nose, because that's not shel kayama. It must be the one in the nose, which is shel kayama. And same thing by boats. This sounds very uncomfortable for the camel, but I don't know. I don't know.
Rabbi said it was leather, it wasn't a string.
Whatever, it's a, yeah, fine, still, I don't know, I don't want a leather through my septum, I don't know. Baruch Hashem, I don't make that bracha every day, but there was such a bracha, right? Shaloh asani pachai, right? Or something like that. Fine. Now the Gemara, okay, we're going to come back to the different passages in the Gemara, but the Gemara makes it clear that we're talking about kayama. Right, that there is this notion of kayama, that the knot has to be permanent to be asur midoraisa. But it also has this notion of the kesher asapanin, the kesher agamalin, right? These camel knots and the boat knots. So the fundamental question that Rishonim dealt with is: are those two things or one? Right? Is kayama the only thing, and it's just that the knots that professionals make tend to be permanent, and that's why we use it as an example? Or is it important that it is professional and that it's permanent? So Rashi says there's only one rule: permanence. And he says this throughout his parish. I gave you one example. Mafteach chaluka kamoshi yesh legalachim kein lishonos lakan lakan v'kosher shalimin v'kadev small v'shal small v'kadev yamin dechevan dechol yoma sharule lo dami midi lekesher shokayama umoter lechatila. For him, what is the point of this whole thing? Permanence, right? The boat knots, the camel knots. The reason we bring these examples is because they're permanent. You don't untie them regularly. They can't be untied regularly. Again, I'll come back to that next week, whether it's intent or quality of knot. But Rashi consistently says it is about permanence. The Rif and the Rambam say no, there's two conditions: permanence and professionalism. The Rif, Itmar, Hidritzuz Minal Vasandal, Tani Khalakhaiv Khatanagari Patur Avalasur, Vitani Idach Mutulchatchila. Right, there's three types of knots that you can tie. Again, that's in the middle in the Gemara, which we'll come back to. Knots that you're chayev biblically, knots that are forbidden rabbinically, and knots that are permitted. So the Gemara had said, Kasha Minal Minal, Kasha Sandal Sandal, Minal Minal, O Kasha, Hadatani Chayev, Biminal, De Ushkibi, De Maisa Umanu, Vikesha Shakayama. So the Rif, again, you can look at the Gemara and you see he's just quoting the Gemara, that these professional knots are Daraisa. Why? The Rif says two reasons: because they're professional and they're permanent. Vahadatani Patar Avalasar, Bidirabanan, De Maisa Hedjodhu. When are they Dirabanan? Even if they're permanent, but they are not professional. Elishu kesher shel kayama, but it is permanent. Ulefichach patra v'loser. V'hadat ani mutar lechatchila b'nei v'chozek non rutsuos sheyotz migufu shaminal v'koshen tzon laregel. That's, you know, again, this is all three different types of shoelaces, and we're going to come back to the shoelaces. But for now, I just want to get the esotos out. There are three different types of ways of tying your shoes, right? The one that is permanent and professional is d'oraisa. The one that is permanent but not professional is derabanan, and the one that is neither, it is permitted. The law of ma'isa umanu, he says, law ma'isa umanu v'lo kesher shel kayamahu. It is neither permanent nor is it professional. I know I'm skipping over what the exact knots are, but again, we're going to come back to that next week. If I don't get the asotos out now, we won't understand what we're talking about. The Rambam as well, kosher kesher shel kayama vihu ma'isa uman chayav. Right, it's very simple. Needs both. v'kesher sapanim v'kitcher yitzuos minol v'sandash kosher haratzanim b'shas asiyasan v'chein kol chayotze b'zeh aval kosher kesher shel kayama v'eino maizuman pater. If it's permanent but not professional, you're exempt. V'kesher sheino shel kayama v'eino maizuman mutur l'kasher l'chadchila. And if it isn't permanent and it's not professional, so then it is permitted l'chadchila. The Rosh notes this machlokes and again and follows Rashi, right? Perish Rashi, Sharatzon Machnes Aratua Benekev Shevaminol, right? Going on the shoe case, Rashi interprets the cases which are problematic as the shoelace that you put into the shoe, because Shakesha Echabas over Ratua, and you tie a knot at the end, Shalotate Ratua Minanekev, it keeps the shoelace in the shoe, Vukayam Leolam. Right, the Rashi said the reason it's usher is because it's this shoelace which you're tying in is tied there forever. Rav Ilf is al perif to ma'aser shel umanhu. The Rif says the problem is that it's professional. Vilo nihira, and the Rashi says I don't like it. To be kesher shel kayama ein chiluk ben ma'aser uman lema'aser hedjot, because when it is permanent, there is no difference whether it is professional or not professional. So that is the major machlokas that you find over and over again. Again, I'm not going to skip over the examples. We are going to come back to the examples. But the Rashi and the Rush say the only rule you need to know in kosher is it permanent or not? Derabanans are mid-level permanence. Deraisas are permanent. And things which are bechlal not permanent are mutter. The Rambam and the Rif say no. For something to be d'oraisa, it needs two qualifications, permanence and professionalism. And again, Rav Gigi notes that this may come down to the question, as we started with, is it about chibur or about the knot? If it's only about chibur, so then permanence makes sense. Once you say that the knot itself is central, it makes sense to introduce other qualifications for what type of knot. Not just how strong, but for the type of knot. The problem here is the following. The way I've explained it is, I think, the simplest way. It is also the way that is the minority position in Psak. The simplest way of understanding the Rambam is that there are, in fact, two different rules, permanence and professionalism. However, many Rishonim and Achronim did not understand the Rambam or the Rif this way and said, no, the Rambam and Rashi are not that far away from each other. Professionalism is another way of saying permanence. What's the difference between Rashi and the Rambam? Not much.
They're not reading the Rambam that way.
Yes, they are.
And how do you translate the words? A kosher shon.
Watch. I didn't make it up. Watch. I agree with you, but watch. Okay. The following starts in 23. The Shilti Gibarim on the Rif. Kesher Uman Lonis Barley Hatev Heyachu. What is this professional that you talk of? Miu near Miloshin Alfasi who kesher shekosher no so hade ketev. Professional means really tight. Mikan nearly she yatsa haazara kishekosher snake charm zelze she ain matir no so bishabes. From here I derive that a double knot is a kesher uman. Even though it's not permanent, you're not going to leave it there. It's strong. It's tight.
But they're separate. Kesher shel kayama is not the same as kesher shulman.
So,
I can have a kesher shulman for an hour. I want to tie my boat for an hour.
Okay. Now, in order for this to work, and this is what I already have hinted at, but again, what we're going to do next week, is in order for any of this to work, you've got to figure out, kayama can mean one of two very different things. Kayama can mean I intend to leave it there forever, or kayama can mean that it is a good knot. If you think kayama means a good knot, and you think uman means a good knot, then the difference between kayama and uman are basically nothing, right? Basically nothing.
There's no reason to think that.
I have a good knot for an hour.
I have a good knot for an hour
and a good knot for a week. They're different knots. I have a good knot to keep my boat for an hour.
Correct.
And a good knot that I want to keep it there for the winter.
I agree with you.
Tie your boat.
But you'll see.
With a knot that only goes for an hour.
Wait, it's not the same knot.
So,
might not be the same.
Again, I agree, but as we'll see, right? Watch. Just watch, okay? This is quite... Okay. How about we do it the other way? How about we do it this way? Let's skip to the simpler understanding, and then we'll come back to the way we paskin, okay? Or not we paskin, the way that is more prevalent in halacha, okay? Look at 26. The simplest understanding of the Rambam is that these are two completely different things. Professionalism and tightness have nothing to do with each other whatsoever. They're two separate qualifications. That's the Mari Korkis in 26. Old sha'alta levayer l'chamash, ma'ishna gabay kosher, aval kosher v'chulei, keitz v'chulei, kol kosher v'chulei, right, the Shoal said to him, what is the difference between tightness and professionalism? They're the same thing, just tell me one thing. So he answers, tshuva, kesher shel kayama, the eino maisa uman, matsui umer gal, beina anashim. What are you talking about? They're the same thing. They are not the same thing. They are not the same thing. And everybody knows this. Ezra Yaris said, everybody knows that these are the same thing. These are not the same thing. V'shayach lahavilo dimayon. Let me give you an example. L'hodia. Eza nikra shel kayama. Ve'eza eino l'kayama. Avamash eino l'kayama. Ein mishasa kesher uman. Ki b'chol shah, b'chol yom, yatir osa. V'lama yasir shel uman. V'chol pam, yikra. Uman latir lasoso yitrachu latir lasoso kesher ze ino murgo velo shayach latet bo dimayon velo kach. He said a professional knot may not be stronger, but you don't know how to undo it. You need a professional to untie it. And then there's tight knots. They're two different things, right? Professional knots are knots that only certain people know how to tie and untie, right? So they may end up staying there for a long time, not because they're particularly strong, because you have no idea how to undo it, right? It's like, you know, exactly. You don't know how to undo it. Kayama is kayama. He said, that's the difference. They're different. They're just different. However, okay, despite the fact that that is the simple pshat, and then he goes on, and we're going to come back to it in a little bit, the Shilti Giborim, right, doesn't take it this way. Right? The Shilti Giborim says, no, a double knot, which is not particularly professional, is a maisa uman. Right? Is a maisa uman. Why? Because he thinks that uman isn't about professionalism, it's about tightness. Now, what's the difference with kayama? Now, you could say kayama is about intent, and uman is about strength, right? But that assumes you think kayama is about how long do you want it to be there, rather than how long could it last, which is not obvious, which is what we're going to see next week.
Well, do we have to assume that strength and durability are the same thing?
Well, see, look at the Raman, the Taz, right?
Yeah.
Right? Not necessarily, right? They're very close, though, right? It's not that there's no difference between Rashi and the Rambam. There's much less of a difference between Rashi and the Rambam. How little of a difference is unclear, right? That depends on whether you think, right? You could say Kayama is about intent and Uman is about strength and durability, right? If that's the case, then they are different things, possibly, but that depends on how Rashi takes Kayama, whether it's about intent or durability, which is also not clear. You're right,
not even that. Strength and durability are different, both in terms of the character of the knot itself and in terms of the role it plays. In other words, shoelaces come out because of the pressure we place on the knot when walking. If you were to take the knot that you put in your shoelace and put it in, you know, tying a cabinet closed, it would be durable. People could pull on the door and the knot would not come out.
How many times you pull
it? No. The studies have been done in physics about this, about why it is that shoelaces come out.
Wow. I'm glad you know that. The truth is that the Gemara does discuss this, but do send it around. But again, now we can draw distinctions, right, between, yes, length, durability and strength and things like that. But the simple shot of the Rambam and the Rif that Uman is about professionalism and Kayama is about all those other things, right? Durability, strength, all those I would wrap into Kayama and then figure out Kayama. That's the Mari Korkis. The Shulta Gibram clearly doesn't think that because he thinks Uman is also about strength, right? Or durability. I mean, so, you know, which are much closer. Even if they're distinct, they're closer together. There are more Paskins this way in 24. Right? He said, L'chumra, we Paskin, a double knot is usher, because we don't know what this Uman thing is. And the Taz in 25 says, to la rifa Rambam, Shem deri shona, m'eno shel kayama, hainu shenazel hatir b'chol yom. Maisa umans are strong, so they normally last. or in longly strong, so they don't last. Afa gavdu chazak shenasa lekiyum. Mikomakom enochayv el asur v'yisura mia ika kevin shenasa lekiyum. Nimsa de betarte lereusa kiyum v'chazak chayev kiyum lechud o chazak lechud asur betarte letivusa haynu demenu kiyum v'enu chazak lechatchila motor. Right, following the Shilta Giborim, the Taz. Now he does seem to make some sort of distinction and say that kayama is durability and uman is chazak, is strength. Mm-hmm. Right. Of course, those are related to each other, right? Durability and strength are related, but that's how the Taz, following Shilta Giborim, and the Rama, seemingly, takes the Rambam, that Rashi is simply about Kayama, which Kayama itself could be about durability or strength or both, right? The Taz thinks that the Rambam thinks that Kayama is about durability and Uman is about strength, right? And Rashi just is about durability, and strength is swallowed up in durability. I'm not really sure, right? That's the problem, right? But the point is that the Taz, the Rama, Shilta Giborim, all bring the Rambam and the Rif much closer to Rashi, such that there may be nuanced distinctions between them, or there might not be, depending on how you interpret Rashi, right? Meaning, it's clear, right? Once you say the durability, once you say that Kayama is about durability and Uman is about strength, if that is at all different from Rashi, depends on whether Rashi thinks Kayama requires strength, right? Or simply that it's going to last for a long time. That's something you have to ask in Rashi. And again, that's what I'm going to ask next week, is what does Rashi mean by Kayama? Intent for it to last, durability, the situation, right? The way people normally use it, right? All these are things the Acharnim try to struggle with. And what does Kayama mean, right? If you think Kayama means that it's being used in such a way that under normal circumstances it will last because it's strong enough and durable enough, then you have eliminated the difference between Rashi and Rambam entirely, which many Acharnim do. And that's what we're going to see. But that's, I wanted to set it up to highlight why it's so important next week to understand Kayama, because Kayama can mean five different things, right? And for both Rashi and the Rambam, right, and trying to figure out what they mean and which is halacha is the nightmare that we have to deal with in 7 days' time. Fine. But despite that, the Marikorkas wouldn't have gotten you quite into this mess. And it's not fair to say we don't paskin this way. It is true that the simple pshat in the Rama and the Taz for sure is that the Rambam and the Rif are much closer to Rashi because they think Kayama is about durability and Uman is about strength, and therefore it's not about professionalism. But both the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishneh Berurah push back on this because they don't like it. They don't like this simplicity of the Rambam. And definitely the Taz understands him. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Omnam Ikarei Dvarim Tmuim. Right? It's very simply. What are you talking about? If it's about Chosek, say Chosek, don't say Uman. Right? Right, is that I understand? Kayama is about Chozek. The Eich Yasu Kesher Kayama Berifyon. Umaisa Uman Nosaf Laze. Upshita Shemaisa Uman. Who should be Edzem Asiyas Kesher? Yesh Eza Umnos. Shein Head Yod Yochal Asozo. Uman means that a non-professional doesn't know how to do it. That's what it means, right? And therefore, the Gamlo Nirelomar, the Mashkas of a Rambam, the Shel Uman, the Eino Shel Kayama, the Pater of Al Asr, Shu Kamanoso Al Kesher Shosu Latir B'Chol Yom. So he says, I can't believe that the Rama actually paskins like the Shilta Giborim maker Adin, because the double knot is not Uman. He said it's a Dirabanan, because it's sort of something like Uman-ish. And therefore it's Dirabanan, and it's a Chorma Ba'alma, but I can't believe that the Rama actually understood the Rambam that way. Ber Halacha 28 also says this. Maybe what the Taz means is you couldn't figure out how to untie it like an Uman. Right? It's strong because you don't know how to untie it because you need a professional to untie it. Maybe that's what he means. But, I mean, that's not what the Taz means. But he pushes back on it because he says, I don't know what you're talking about. So, Marikurkas, Aruch HaShulchan, the Ber Halacha, all saying, no, no, no. The Rambam, the Rif really do mean Uman is professional. And all those other things, durability, strength, is all under Kayama. The Taz, and the simple pshat in the Rambam, following the Shilta Gibarim, is that no, Chazak and Kaya and Uman, right? Kayama and Uman are much closer together, and therefore you have to get into these splitting hairs of the exact difference. The only last thing that I will note is that Rav Gigi notes, based on the Mari Korkis, that even according to the Rambam, if you do accept that there are two real different qualifications, Uman as professional and Kayama, they aren't necessarily of the same significance, right? And he suggests, and we'll go through that. We'll start with this next week. That if you're medayik in the Rambam, it seems to be that even though the Rambam does hold of two different factors, for both Rambam and Rashi, Kayama is still more prominent, right? Kayama is still the main one. Uman is a tanai, and Kayama is definitional. Right, that a knot which is not permanent is not a knot at all. A knot which is not professional is a knot. It's just not one you're chayv for on Shabbos, and therefore we're more machmir when you're playing with kayama than when you're right. Or other way, right? When something is lacking in kayama, it's going to be more makil, even on derabanan level, right? Because it's lacking its definition. Uman is more marginal, it's just a tanai, and therefore, just because there are two factors, according to Rambam, doesn't mean they're equal factors, and that's something we'll start with next week. But mostly what we'll deal with next week is this question of Kayama, which, as I've already hopefully convinced you with, is chaos. And trying to figure out what it means is the nightmare we will deal with next week.